This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 552. I am Brian Kilby. Today is, what's today? The 3rd of January, 2018.
It's a Wednesday.
For me, it was a Wednesday.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So that was Chris and Diecast. Don, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Are you fine, Don? You really fine?
Not really, no. I'm very tired and still half sick.
Aww. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want this head cold and this chest cold to be gone.
Kim has been sick for like 3 weeks. It sucks.
No, this weather ain't helping either.
Matt? She's gone to the doctor?
Yeah, no, she hasn't.
Well, that's a little long for not going to the doctor.
This is true. She's crazy. Rob?
Hi.
John, so you haven't been on recently, have you? Were you on last week?
I can't remember. I know my schedule's been...
He was here last week. I don't know if he actually said anything during the show.
That's right.
I probably said hello.
Probably.
Yeah.
I know you plugged your social media, so there you were at least there right at the end.
I think he had some predictions counts, for 2018.
Oh, yeah, I did. That was last week.
Yeah.
I
had predictions. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good.
Wow, that feels like it was last year.
Oh, God. Okay. I don't have anything to plug. Toy Fair is a little over a month away, which is scary, but I don't want to sabotage things by saying we've seen most of it, but I'm certain there's going to be stuff that is a surprise.
I like surprises.
You know, I really don't think there will be.
Well, make sure you join us for our live stream.
Yes.
There will be non-Transformers toys to talk about that day, too.
No, that's usually what Sunday is for, if we do a Sunday stream. Because Hasbro usually runs their Saturday presentation because everybody else starts the next day. So like, they can get most of the attention all for themselves.
Yeah, so that'll be Saturday, February 17th. Sorry. I'm working on my caffeine.
February.
Okay.
You know, I hope it's at least warmer than it is now, so I don't have to stand out in New York in the cold.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that would really be unfortunate.
At least you're not threatening your marriage this year by spending Valentine's Day in New York at a toy show.
Yeah. Only by chance.
Actually, Valentine's Day is Wednesday. So if he's on the show, he's...
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wednesday before Toy Fair or after?
Before.
He can miss that show.
Yeah, that's true. So...
And it's not the usual way I say, you know, Diecast doesn't need to be here. Like, genuinely, he can skip one show out of the year for the sake of his marriage.
Yeah, but if I skip, then Brian, you know, Kim would think Brian would have to skip.
I just won't tell her. Unless you, like, tweet at her or something, she's not going to know.
I'll make sure I'll be like, I'm skipping to spend this wonderful Valentine's Day with my wife.
Yeah. And you'll just like subtly tag at Kim Kilby.
At Kim Kilby. Actually, Kim has two Twitter accounts, and I don't remember which one actually is the current one. So I usually send
it to both.
Yeah.
The only reason I actually named out that one is because I was pretty sure that one wasn't currently in use.
Yeah. Yeah, so did anybody get anything this week? And I will start for, well, no, Chris has a surprise, I guess, so I'm going to let Chris go first.
So we're going to start with the comparatively mundane stuff, which is I got Legends Slug Slinger and Octane, whatever.
Octane, it's Octane for the Takara release.
Yeah, the English does actually say Octane, although the katakana on there is Octone.
Yep.
Oh, well, have it both ways.
Oh, damn, that fell off. I really wanted him to be here to see the special thing I had, so I will just draw this out some like Kilby was doing before the show. So because I've been working on photographing Rodimus Prime, I haven't had time to open the Legends, but I really like the way Slugslinger's colors look. That shade of blue it has is really nice, and I'm probably not going to be able to stretch this out quite until Matt gets back, am I? Because it usually takes him a few minutes. So I guess I will just go ahead and lay it all on the table now. I have a Duocon.
I hate you.
Oh, damn! Wow.
Yeah.
How is the question I was curious about?
Rob, plausible deniability. Plausible deniability.
Oh, apparently Matt didn't realize until just now that he fell off. That's
right. A likely story.
So the combined mode is pretty good. The legs are a little bit awkward because, like, there's, you know, junk on the sides. It has theoretically full poseability because, like, you know, you get knees, there's a thigh swivel. Even the ankles technically tilt a little bit because there's ball joints.
I hate you.
But the the robot arms sticking off the sides kind of interfere with the movement a little bit. I also am finding the waist joint, which is just Road Trap's neck is looser than I'd like it to be, and that's kind of a problem with Road Trap in general. The tolerances on like the pegs and fittings aren't all that great. So what this does to become legs is the chest flips down a little bit, and then the whole body splits apart below the neck, and that's the legs. So when it's in robot mode, it has to all tab together to hold as a robot, and it doesn't kind of want to stay that way. So that may be individual variation, and other ones will fit a little bit better, but that's something to be aware of. You could probably floor polish a couple of those fittings, so it'll stick a little bit better in robot mode. The truck mode for Road Trap is okay.
Matt's back.
Turn your camera on. I want to see your face.
Oh, that's not ominous at all.
Uh-huh.
That's very optimist, though. Give me your face.
Matt's not turning his camera on. He's not.
Well, I'm not continuing until he does.
Was this like a game of chicken?
Okay. he turned it off again. Okay, here we go. Show him.
He's trying so hard not to respond.
I know what he's thinking. Matt, I hate you.
I told them, don't ask plausible deniability. That way, we can't be held accountable.
Matt is not responding. There, he turned his camera. God, I hate you.
In terms of the vehicle mode, Road Trap's actually the better of the two because it's easier to kind of squeeze a truck out of a semi-limited build. The worst problem Road Trap has is just that the thighs stick straight out the back, but you can rotate the pelvis so that the robot head doesn't. You can rotate Battle Trap. Yeah, you can rotate the combined. I'm confusing myself, man. I have not slept in like 20 hours.
He's been up since 3:30 this morning.
Yeah, the robot head can rotate out of the way when it's in truck mode. It just leaves the thighs sticking out.
This is me every 5 minutes.
And you just jam the head up into Battle Clash.
Whoa.
And that's how you put it together.
And Matt hung up. So, I missed like Power Link's combining from like Energon. Mm-hmm. This is way less simpler, but at the same time, it seems way more satisfying.
It also could be, Brad, the character is supposed to be pants and a shirt. So,
yes.
So that aesthetic doesn't hurt the character because that's who it's supposed to be. These other characters were two robots that weren't pants and shirts that were made into pants and shirts.
So, true. Hey, Chris, I just have to say this since you're not in the chat. Everybody in the chat is asking where you got this. And people should be watching live every week because this is a fine example of why the live stream is so fun.
Yeah.
TF4D.net /live.
So Matt claims he's having some system problems and is going to try to restart. I think he's just, going to go take a walk around the block to, cool off.
Yeah.
Battle Slash is sure trying hard to be a helicopter when you put it in vehicle mode. But it's a very stack of boxes kind of helicopter. And actually the socket for the waist is the nose. So there's just a big gap in the front of the helicopter.
Aww.
But the individual robot mode is more solid. So basically with Road Trap, you get a fairly good vehicle. With Battle Slash, you get a pretty good robot, but there's not a crossover between those.
So I'm going to try to do a little bit of deduction here, because this was delivered via DHL. Mm-hmm. And typically, I only work with DHL or get from DHL when it's international. So clearly, right. I mean, we can expect it was that. So you got this from Amazon Japan? No.
So close.
Philippines?
No.
Hong Kong?
Taobao.
Singapore.
Singapore, otherwise known as the only place this has been seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. If things had gone a little bit better, I would have had this yesterday, but there were some issues, and so I had to go and actually collect it in person today. So, yeah. But I have it. And it's pretty good. It's not perfect, but I like what they've done to update the Duocon idea. You know, essentially turning one character into two new ones that can also become that original character, getting some new robot designs out of it. One of the things people have been talking about is, like, what can these molds be reused for? I get a distinct Throttlebot vibe off of Road Trap in its individual robot mode. So there could be something along that line in its future, because Road Trap at least is the one where it could be made to work where you don't really think of it having a combined mode. I think Battle Slash is a little bit more compromised toward being able to combine overall. So that might not be one that you could reuse so easily as an individual release. But I think they could get something throttle body out of Road Trap at least. As for Battle Slash, I mean, maybe they can have a separate pair of pants for the next reuse of that mold and, you know, set them as an assortment again. But
so I was going to ask if you thought he might be able to be retooled into the top half of Flywheels.
I mean, all things are possible in, you know, the land of make believe.
That's true.
And Chris, sitting here thinking about it as you were talking about that, another possible use, now it won't be exactly G1 accurate, but it could be members of the Landclaws team. Because you know we're going to get a Flywheels, apparently, if they've done Battle Trap.
Yeah.
So that's four of the six members of the Landclaws team from Victory. Now, you know, like I said, it won't be an exact matchup, you know, the way they were. But you could get, like, Wing and Waver, and you could, I'm just saying, it could be done as, so that way you could get, you know, that could be possible, too.
Yeah, that's conceivable. So
one thing I really like,
interesting, go ahead.
One thing I really like about this, you mentioned about how we have two characters now out of one. It's a way to really extend the life of Generations, because Generations has sort of gotten stale when it's just another frickin' G1 character that we've already had. Or,
you know what's another way to extend Generations? Bring in non G1 stuff.
Yeah, well, yes. Which is sort of my point. In a way, even though Battle Trap is a G1 character, the two characters that he consists of are not G1 characters. They're new G1 characters, but they're new characters. There's a ton of stuff that they could use, but I would be fine, you know, adding to G1 by doing things like this. I think that's cool.
So before we move on, I want to make one comparison live on stream here. Remember in 2014, we got the Generations Minicon team that combined into a big robot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're approximately the same size. So in the world of 2017, it takes two Legends class figures to equal one 2014 Deluxe.
Aw.
That's what I call sad math.
That's sad
math. But combined together, this is a better action figure than Centuritron.
Yeah, that toy kind of sucks. Okay. Is that all you have?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go next because I figure somebody else got this too. I got Masterpiece Sunstreaker, and I really like it. He's a very, very, very solid robot. Very nice vehicle mode. Transformation's complex. I did it without instructions. just looking at photos, I forgot who I was talking with on Twitter. We were talking about how the transformation is really about as complex as Sun Surge. I don't disagree with that, but I think it's easier to intuit the transformation in Sun Surge because I still needed to look at instructions with Sun Surge. But some people are saying this is the best masterpiece so far, at least the best masterpiece car, and I can't disagree with that because, yeah, the my Sun Surge is laying over there somewhere. I'm trying to piece it together so I can sell it.
That's because he's obsolete now.
Sun Surge isn't bad. But I told whoever it was I was talking with, I said, I think they're about the same quality. That's until I actually pulled my Sun Surge out last night. They're not. No way. Not even close. He is much nicer than Sun Surge. But transformation-wise, they're about the same. Sun Surge eking out a little bit more complex. But yeah, he is very, very nice. And setting him side by side with Masterpiece Lambor, he is way more advanced. Way more advanced. So then that's all I got. Don, looks like you have him too.
Mm-hmm. Sun Surge, yeah, not Sun Surge.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't see the reason to spend another $100 for Sunstreaker when I have a good representation of the character in my collection. I mean,
it's
I may
so
get one later. I know, but I mean, but again, I like the way I think Sun Surge makes a good Sunstreaker, and there's more stuff out there I would rather spend that $100 for than something that's a little closer, but not by that much.
Let me tell you, I think I got him on Amazon for around $80 shipped.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So it's not bad. And if you get more stuff, I mean, the shipping's cheaper. Like the Lambor that I sold to Matt, I got for $50 plus shipping. So, yeah, it's way cheaper through Amazon Japan. That's the way to go. Did you get anything else, Don? I mean, you had Sun Surge. Did you get anything?
Oh, no, I was just showing him. Yeah, I got a couple things. I was up in Roanoke visiting friends for New Year's. Did an impulse buy. Went to Walgreens. I got Prowl.
Oh.
Prowl seems to be, you know, we all know that it's hit or miss at the Walgreens on what's going to show up. But Prowl seems to be the one showing up the least common. And I just kind of wanted this Prowl. I don't know why. I just did. So I went ahead and picked one up. I guess basically I just wanted a Prowl that I could just fiddle with and just, you know, a chunky desk Prowl. So I got him, and I got Optimus and Rodimus from Power of the Primes. I've opened Optimus. I like Optimus. I really do like the Ryan Pax. A lot of people are complaining about the legs off the back. It's bad, but if you look at Power Baser from Fans Hobby, it's worse, I think, you know, as far as just sticking off the back. So, you know, it's really not for this price point. I think if you look at this Optimus versus the Titans Return Optimus, you're getting more toy for about the same dollar amount. And I think this is a better value for this leader class price point at $45 than what you would have gotten that Prime for. The Titans Return Prime. And I haven't had a chance to open up Rodimus yet. Looking forward to opening him up. So there's that. I also picked up Grim. I haven't got him in here, but I also picked up Grimlock with some rewards dollars from TRU.
But yeah, that's probably the best way to pick up on those Voyagers is on severe discount.
Yeah. Diecast.
Yes, from Sean Janisco. I got the on Twitter. I got Baby Bisque and Clampdown.
Oh, so nice.
That's awesome. I really wanted this little bisque just because I enjoy the deluxe bisque so much. So thank you, Sean. It's really cool. And then something I keep forgetting to mention that I've actually had for a couple weeks now, but I think every Transformers fan should pick it up. It's the Unofficial Guide to Vintage Transformers by
Rick Alvarez.
Rick Alvarez, our friend.
Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, Yeah, but it's really cool. It's a big book. It's got a lot of nice pictures and information on it. Anyone who wants to see the history of the Transformers toys, this is like awesome. So I would definitely recommend checking that out.
Yeah, I'll buy a copy of it. Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. I think they're sold out right now, but it's going to be restocked soon. So yeah, tfradio.net/Amazon. Yeah. And then I also got LG-54 Bumblebee and Exosuit Spike. And I took the Exosuit Spike out because I wanted to see the clear head madness that's going on. And it's kind of disturbing, but it's hard to show on camera, but it's, he's got a very flat face and about a half an inch of plastic in front of it. So
a little flat face, a little round belly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who, when he laughs, shakes like a bowl full of jelly. Wait, that's not how it goes.
I've also got Lambor, the, what are we saying, cartoon accurate one?
Yeah.
The newer one. He was in my pile of loot with HLJ, which also came with an Octane, or Octone, however you want to say it. And then
that's the Japanese when it's Octane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from Amazon Japan, I got another.
Oh God! That's how I wound up with Matt's Lambor.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
If anybody needs an Octone, Diecast will probably sell you one at cost.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's all I got. It's a weird week because it's mostly official stuff.
I know,
it's weird.
And most of it didn't come in baggies.
True. Yeah. Matt, yeah. Did you get anything?
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff today. So, I got from the Iron Factory War Giant set, I got Cannon Chariot.
Oh.
Not Onslaught. Great robot mode. His vehicle mode, I'm just, honestly, he folds up into a block on some wheels.
So, Onslaught.
Well, Onslaught's more like a stick.
More so than Onslaught.
Onslaught kind of just stretches out into a board.
Yeah, a board. Yeah, this one
folds up into a block. But the robot mode is great. And honestly, I'm buying this for the combined Bruticus mode anyway. So I really like him. When I was transforming him back into robot mode, I had a lot of problem getting his head back out of his chest. Just a forewarning. I'm not sure if there's a trick to that or not. It was not easy to get back out.
Wait, that's Iron Factory? Did he come?
Yes.
Okay. Did he come with a black RC?
Well, if you would have let me finish. Yes. Hidden behind him is a little Combiner Hunters painted RC.
Wait, it's hidden?
From Iron Factory. It's behind the black. It fits under the black tray.
So it's like a freebie that you didn't know was in there?
I had no idea it was coming. She stashed in there with the combiner parts.
Way to go, Iron Factory.
Nice. Yeah, right? So that was the first nice little surprise I got today. Oh, also, I got that from Ages 3 and Up. And normally they wrap stuff in like a brown paper. And I guess since I ordered around holiday, I got some nice red gift wrap.
So I really like how they pack their stuff.
Ages 3 and Up, it's just solid.
It's solid, and I also really love how the last item that I ordered from Captured Prey had a little personalized note on the package. So I like how a lot of these people differentiate themselves from each other and like Big Bad and everything. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting to the Captured Prey stuff. So. From I got two boxes from Captured Prey today, and I wasn't expecting either of them. Like, I had a slip in the mailbox that I had three packages at the post office today. So, I had a pretty good day. I got Voyager Grimlock. I haven't had a chance to transform him yet, but I'm digging the robot mode. I like it.
It's okay.
And I got the deluxes as well. I got Dreadwind the other day. I went on a little toy hunt over the weekend and found Dreadwind, and I love him so much. Just look at those colors, man.
I know.
Late G1 colors are fantastic.
I got,
you know, everybody else today, again, from Captured Prey.
Yeah. I love Jasmine. That. I love that swoop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is really nice. I haven't had time to transform. Like, I've transformed Jazz into his car mode, just playing around with that. But I haven't had a chance to mess with the Dinobots really yet. And I got the three Prime Masters, Metalhawk, Cloudburst, and Skullgrin.
So what do you think of those?
I love these things.
I do too.
I mean, yeah, they're simple, but they're, I mean, so were the Titan Masters. I love these things.
I like them better than Titan Masters for one reason. They're self-contained, where I tend to lose all, I tend to get the stuff with the Titan Masters separated, and those are easier to store.
And I was concerned about the open face suit gimmick. I wasn't sure how well that was going to work, but on Metalhawk especially, it worked really, really well.
Yeah, I think so.
Everything lines up.
It's just so weird that there's so much detail on these small Pretender shells. Like, you know, that is the tiniest Decepticon symbol I have ever seen on a figure. And it's clear.
A tiny little Autobot one on the top of Cloudburst's head. It does not. It's so small it doesn't show up on my camera.
I had a hard time photographing that too.
Yeah,
and
Captured Prey. Oh, geez, it is. I thought it was just like a piece, like stretched on the plastic. Mold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and an Autobot symbol so small it looks like mold flash.
Yep.
And Captured Prey was doing a little add-in. I guess for the holidays, for anything you ordered, you got, like, I guess a 50-50 shot, some surplus fans project items. You could either get
How many Dinobots did you get?
Yeah, no. TFX-05 sidearm, the little Rodimus Prime
Target Master. That came out, 6 years ago at this point? Nice. Seven?
Something like that.
Something like that.
God, time flies.
Or the fans project Quake, the Crossfire Shockwave, and since I got two packages, I got one of each.
Oh, that's
cool. Awesome.
The Quake is really cool.
Now, which one's that?
The Fans Project Target Masters.
No, the Quake.
Quake.
The Quake is the one that came with the second run of Ammunitioner.
Okay, that's right.
And he threw in some Toy Hacks labels as well for Autobot and Decepticon symbols. Beautiful.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Oh, dry transfer is even nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I had a pretty good toy day today.
Rob.
Not as good as Chris, apparently, with his, you know, seemingly out of nowhere Wave 2 stuff. But, you know, screw him. So.
Yeah. Anything cool, Rob?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I did skip tailgate for now.
Okay.
I got a couple of little things. I went out hunting for Rodimus Prime. I was like 3-4 days too early to my target, apparently, but I did manage to pick up Broadside for $17.50. So
nice.
And yeah, I'd say Broadside's worth that. The jet is still kind of ridiculous, but the aircraft carrier mode is pretty solid, and the robot mode looks good. And you know, just looking at that jet mode in person, I am 100% certain that there was a waist swivel that did not cost out at some point in this design. Because if you could swivel the waist and lock the legs at 90 degrees like they lock, it would align to a better looking but still horrible jet.
I wonder if it wasn't a cost thing so much as like a structural issue.
It could be both.
The same way. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, it could be both because, you know, there's a chunk of the aircraft carrier just built into the back of that block. So it could have caused, you know, the front and back ends to not really align and lock together properly if that waist joint was there. But again, just from the way that the fins all point and the way that the legs work, I am certain that at some point in the design process, there was a joint there. The other thing I got was Aldi still had a few Titan Masters left, so I went ahead and got Overboard for like $2, which means nice. I now have every one of the single-carded Titan Masters, and it's been a long time since I got a complete line like that.
Nice.
Yeah. Overboard is, of course, the third use of that Crash Bash mold. It shows some of the joints are a little bit on the loose side, and I forgot how much the pinned hip joints really improved Wave 2 and forward on the Titan Masters. but it's a nice set of colors for the Crash Bash face and the riding chicken vehicle. So it's, you know, it was well worth $2. So
sweet.
That's all I found, but pretty good.
That's awesome. John?
I picked up some loose ends like Hascon Grotesque, so I can check that off my list. Finally caught up on that. I got the Power of the Primes Grimlock and Starscream, tweeted a bit about Grimlock. So Starscream has like exceptional Hasbro-y stickers, like on the Hasbro scale of stickers. He's a 9 for sure. He exceeds expectations. I do like that when you add the combiner feet. By the way, I missed the handgun foot thing, but these hollowed out feet combined with his guns on his shoulders do make a nice homage to Cybertron Starscream, so I appreciate that kind of approaching that. One thing that is like a 30-year-old collector complaint that will not impact a 7-year-old boy at all, or girl, is that Power of the Prime Starscream, one thing that I really like his kind of like a reimagined torso, and he has a really good head sculpt, I think. But his arms and legs are like really puffy and kind of preschooly in their design and their look. Like he's got Popeye forearms and his feet are just huge and puffy and rounded, and they're not very evil looking or imposing looking. He's very friendly. He's very friendly and rescue body. And for a mainline Starscream or Decepticon, I'm used to like, you know, a bag of knives, angles and things like that. So he strikes an odd aura, I guess, to me. So, but you know, like I said, like for a 7-year-old kid, they just give me a blank stare when I do my nerd talk. But I think, you know, he's not scary in a way that I would have expected. But other than that, I like him. I mean, I think he's a good Starscream. He's an interesting mishmash of different Starscreams through the years. I do like his slightly different transformation than usual, whereas like Grimlock is Grimlock again, and then like with the bonus undocumented combiner mode, that's nice. Until you buy it and open it up to like the fifth panel of the instruction book, that's good marketing. But so yeah, I mean I would say I would definitely say like both these toys are a thumbs up, keeping like an open mind. But but yeah, design wise Starscream's interesting. I don't know if I like him or not. He's not this like evil robot anymore. I don't know what he is, but he is a solid toy. I will say that.
Cool.
So two things before we move on. John, when you describe Starscream the way you were, it really puts me in mind more than anything of Dreamwave's marshmallow robots.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I thought about that. Yes, that's one of the thoughts I had too. Originally, I thought like, man, he's got like Dreamwavy feet, but his forearms are especially... And hands, or yes, they look like they've been like overinflated.
Yeah, if you could pose that so it looks like it's trying to go for your purse.
Yes.
The other thing is on your point about the combining function being undocumented on Battle Slash and Road Trap, which I happen to have in case you missed that part of the show. The only indication on the outside of the packaging that there is any combined mode for these is just the side panel with the tiny little strip of Battle Trap art, where unless you actually know already what you're looking at, you wouldn't even be able to tell that it's not just Battle Slash colored weird. So there's definitely, yeah, some points of failure in the marketing on these. Also, before we move on, I want to just show the backside of Road Trap's robot mode, where you can totally see how he is literally all leg.
Aw.
Yeah?
Poor guy. So actually, go ahead.
Oh, one last question, John. Where'd you get Grotesque?
I picked him up from a connection I had that a pal came through, so.
Ah, nice.
Yes, I networked. I had connections on that guy.
Speaking of PAL, a couple things actually that I forgot about. One that's not Transformers related, but for Christmas, I was able to finally get up with some friends this weekend, Triplet and my friend Ricky. And Ricky gave me ALF hand puppets that were part of a Burger King promotion years ago. I
had one of those.
I years squealed. Or decades. decades. Yeah. They're 30 years old this year. I squealed. I have never made that sound since reaching adulthood, but I squealed. And second, I actually found a couple of the Valvatrons at a antique store for $3.50 each.
Nice.
That sounds about right.
Yes. How the heck did that happen?
I don't know. So they did not have the box, so I'm assuming maybe somebody actually redeemed them. I don't know. But Triplet got one, and the other actually, I guess I'll throw up on Twitter as a giveaway. I'll do that tomorrow, and by the time you hear it, retweet, follow, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to do the same thing for the Headmaster RC. I got a duplicate of that for a Twitter contest. Check us out on Twitter at TF Radio between now and the 10th. We'll have a couple of giveaways because I like doing giveaways. It's like, we're a radio station. Listen to KBBL. Sorry. Okay, that was from The Simpsons. KBBL is going to give me something stupid. You remember Bart with the elephant?
Never mind. I remember that.
Never mind. Okay, so
all right, so 40 minutes into the show, let's get to the news. This Week in History.
This Week in History. This Week in History, 1992, Marvel Comics, The Transformers ends in the United Kingdom with issue 332.
I was 10.
I was 45. No, I was 13.
I was 8. I was 22.
Yeah, so at this point, was this, so I don't know how they divvy out the UK run versus the American run. Was this content from the US book, or was this exclusive
probably
content?
The end of Earth Force.
This is mostly issue 80 from the look of the wiki.
Ah, so okay, so I'm looking at it now. Okay, so yeah, so it's issue 80 in the 4-issue limited series. They reuse that story. Yeah, for people who don't know, obviously in the UK, Transformers had from Marvel much more content. There was a lot of original stories. Furman actually got a start there, and then migrated over to the US. Maybe not physically, but as a writer of the Transformers books. And there's just a wealth of Transformers fiction. And when I first got into the fandom in the late 90s, it was considered, I guess, the before Beast Wars, and some people would say after, but they're wrong. It was the highest of the high of Transformers fiction. And I've mostly read all this stuff, but it was so long ago. It was 20 years ago. So I basically remember nothing of this.
I remember going when the American version came. I remember going to Acme Comics, Brian, when they were up on Elm Street in Greensboro every other week I went 6 times over the course of a month to see if it had come in yet to get that issue 80. And I have 79 and 80 signed by Furman and Wildman.
Nice. So yeah, actually, and I forgot there was a trade paperback. Who made the trades back in the, God, this was 15 years ago?
Titan Books, I think.
Titan Books. I had both versions of this. One, Brian Hitch did the cover, and the art is terrible. But I think that's the point. I mean, for people watching I'll show it here. I don't know if anybody else remembers this, but that was the cover, one of the covers he did. And the other, I think Wildman did the cover. It looks
he did quite a few of those, so
yeah, it's his art, so I'm certain he did it. So he did the cover to that, but that was End of the Road. And God, when did this come out? I bought both copies. It was the early 2000s, because this was when my buddy Randall, who ran the comic shop that I got my comics through, 2002. Dang, I had comics delivered to my desk at work. It was glorious.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, except for the fact that I ran a huge, huge bill each month. It was $150, which in 2002 was a lot more comics than in 2018.
Yeah.
God, 2002, 16 years ago. I got the reprints of this 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I got mine slightly more recently, but I've got them at a discount bookseller. So
in
I wish that place is still around.
In fact, I may actually talk about these on an old episode of RSC from 2002. I'd like to go back and check that out to see if I do, but I'm not going
to. If you didn't, you could always bring RSC Throwback back and just, you know, make it be so that you did.
So I've actually thought about that. So for what Chris is talking about, back in 2009 and 2010,
we did something really stupid.
Yeah, we did. So when we came back, so we were talking about pre-show. If RSC hadn't taken a break, we would be like at episode 890, 895 right now. But obviously, we're at 552 because there were a couple years when we were very sparse. So
a couple, sure.
Five years when we were very sparse. I'll say six. We were consistent through
the number you're looking for. It's about seven.
No, we were very consistent through 2002. We had a few episodes in 03 and like two in 04, and then one in 05 and one in 08. Then 2009, we came back full time. But so in that break, there was a lot of stuff that happened. So we actually produced a podcast that was like a fictional account of what the show would have been like had we produced the show, except it was supposed to be a joke. It was funny. So, you know, like,
well, it was supposed to be funny. I think we should qualify that.
Yeah, it was an attempt at humor, but I really enjoyed it. So the sad thing is right now we never did one about Kiss players. That's a miss. That's a huge
I think you're more disappointed about that than anybody else.
This is true.
No, Don should do that with you as like a throwback.
No, Don. Yeah, actually, no. So, no. But the funny thing is, we could still totally bring this concept back and do it, though, even if it's something we covered, because I would love to go back and recover some stuff from, like Regeneration 1. Never mind. Okay, so moving along. The next item that we have in 2000, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize this was a thing until tonight. In 2000, which was 18 years ago, the Beast Wars Metal episode, Where is the Banana, premieres in Japan. So, as we know, in the Japanese series tend to feature more clip shows, and this is a clip show from Beast Wars, and I'm assuming the theme is Optimus Primal is looking for his banana. The backstory for this, Bad Spark, was actually part of the theatrical release of the Beast Wars movie that came out. And because it had a theatrical run, this episode, there was a gap in the series, so they produced this to reach a full run of 26 episodes. And God, metal. So Beast Wars ended here in, what, 99? So Japan is typically about a year behind on the dubbing and everything, so that makes sense. Gosh, I need to go back and watch this. Except I don't speak a lick of Japanese. But I somehow feel that I don't need to.
Yeah, that'll probably just make it better, honestly.
Yeah, so this is episode 14 of Beast Wars Metals. Beast Wars Metals consists of seasons 2 and 3 of Beast Wars. So for episode 26 of Beast Wars Metals, it was Remix, I Lost the Banana, which was another clip show.
Why is that?
Because Japan and clip shows?
So did they not... So I wonder, how did Nemesis end in Japan? Did they have that?
I assume it ended the same way it ended here.
Yeah. But without the little extra voiceover stuff at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the way they dub Beast Wars, there's really no telling what they ad-libbed at the end.
That's true. Okay, let's jump to the news. No big item. Not a whole lot happened this week of major note. Titans Return.
Yeah, and with my Legends Wave 2 duo cons, I kind of eliminated three items from the show notes
And that's fine. We're 50 minutes in. Knowing the show notes are going to be sparse, I am allotting extra time, which we have exhausted so far. But did anybody watch Titans Return? I know last week I intentionally skipped it last week because I really didn't want to talk about it. Diecast was like, when are we talking about Titans Return?
I watched it, but I'm just going to leave this to Diecast because I don't have anything constructive left to say about this series.
Go ahead, Don.
I'm just going to say that, spoilers, that this has become even lazier than it was before, because not only did they cut away from Fortress Maximus transforming and cut back to him in robot mode. The current episode does the same thing to Trypticon.
There's a lot of smoke around.
No, it's about the same thing because...
Oh, and spoilers, by the way. But nobody cares. It's Titan's Return.
And here's the thing.
It's not like this is Game of Thrones or something, right?
Oh, God.
Yes. Here's the thing.
For people watching, not watching the video, I'm beating myself in the head. Okay.
Sorry, Don.
All right, go ahead, Don.
Okay. This thing is meant to promote... I know the toy line has ended or was ending when this was made. But you still want to show off your figures that are still available. You're obscuring the last major figure that was released in Titans Returns. That's a $150 price point figure behind a cloud of smoke because your animation studio cannot animate a transformation. Fortress Maximus in the Rebirth got more of a visual transformation than Trypticon. That should not be a thing.
You raise a good question, Don. So, do they care about featuring toys in this? I don't feel that they do.
Well, I'm saying Hasbro should have seen this and said, look, this toy is available for kids to purchase. Yes, we've already sold them, but we don't want our vendors to be stuck with a bunch of excess product, which means they'll order less from us in the future. Show the damn toy. Show what it does. But no, they couldn't animate it because their PS1 was overheated because the hamster was on break.
That's wonderful, Don.
Okay, Don, just I think you are seriously overestimating what Hasbro expects this to do.
I think you're exactly right.
At the bare minimum, you should at least paint your product in a good light. You can't do that. Can't see the product.
They didn't have Trypticon's leg break off, so I think we're clear as far as Hasbro goes.
After Diecast, I have a point. Go ahead, Diecast.
All right. I do have to mention the last episode because it was kind of a nothing episode, and I was starting to come around and agree with you guys. Like, this is just not good. And after the last episode, I was thinking that they should rename this Titans Return, Everyone Fights Trypticon, because that's all they've done, and no one has done it well until this episode. This episode, I felt like there was a little bit more balance in the fighting back and forth. It seemed like the plot was, starting to thicken a little bit, and they left us at that cliffhanger at the end. So I thought this was a really good episode, but there are things about the series that bother me. Like, we saw Overlord and Hot Rod.
Overlord,
like, two episodes ago, or we've had two episodes now where they haven't come back to those characters at all.
They ran out of money for them.
We'll do that in the next series. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure sorry to break in, but I'm almost certain that was just there to set up for Power of the Primes, because we've only got one episode of this left. I'm pretty sure this is only a 10 episode series. So that is not enough time to really do much of anything with Rodimus Unicronus, which I'm almost positive is what that
is. So my quarter's sitting there, so I'm gonna go and insert it. So to a point that Rob made and a point that Don made, I don't really understand what the point of this series is. It's not to sell toys. It's clearly not to entertain, because it's not. So why are they producing it? Is it just to spend money? Is it just to blow money?
It's a show that goes out on the internet.
I actually, from what I can remember, and it's been a while since I saw it, I enjoyed the first series, Combiner Wars, better than this so far.
Oh, God.
Okay, I've got to say this. I am the oldest one of the bunch. I have been watching more anime and animation than a lot of people my age and a lot of people, okay? As a novice writer, the writing on this show offends me. As an animation fan, this animation, and I'm being very generous with that word, offends me. As a fan of good storytelling, this offends me, because you could have a good web. We've all seen good web series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in other genres, not trans, just in general, we've seen good web series for something.
Star Trek Discovery.
I guess that counts, but it's produced to the level of being an actual like broadcast TV thing.
Daredevil.
If there is only one episode left, why would they put the whole Overlord thing and Hot Rod thing in the center if that's setting up for the next series? That doesn't make any sense.
Because they don't understand pacing. This thing has the pace of a frozen snail going uphill.
I think part of the problem is that none of the writers really quite have a grasp yet of how to pace for a web series and how to.
So it's practice.
Yeah, it is practice. And the first couple of episodes of this, I think, were paced better than what we have now. It's just, a lot of it comes down to the action and the action with a frame rate of like 8 is just being asked to carry more than it can. There are aspects of this I think are pretty decent. And I just think that there have been some terrible results in the history of animation with the writing staff on one side of the planet and the animation staff on the other side, especially when the budget does not give them time to deal with corrections, with improvements, and basically whatever comes back is what you get. And I think that's a lot of what we're seeing here.
And you're not even showing off the product that's in the series.
Yeah, so,
I don't think they're thinking that a lot of kids that are going to be in toy stores are seeing this product. Originally, when they were marketing this was supposed to be a series for
adults.
The adult fans.
It doesn't make a difference because this, even in your worst anime or your worst show, there's some aspect that you can use to take away. At least this was good. This is a complete and utter failure on every bullet point, an animated show, web series, overhead projection, whatever the case may be.
Cave painting?
I'm not willing to say that till it's done, because this episode was pretty good and it left on a cliffhanger and they have one more episode to finish it up. So let's see how it finishes up, because that's the whole story is when they finished. It's not done being told yet.
I'm sorry. You said this episode was pretty good.
Yeah, this episode was pretty good.
Some people like it.
Yeah. I can understand your issue with the animation. I wish I could have saw the whole transformation, but maybe the budget did just not allow that. So,
where are they spending the
final
money?
Final Battle with an Arm list in Combiner Wars.
How do we know they're spending that much money to begin with? I mean, we know they're spending extra money on this series on the voice actors, but
that's where all
we
the
don't
money
know.
Was.
We don't know if any extra money went to animation, and that's why I always try to take what I'm seeing with a grain of salt, because it's not like we're watching a television series or a movie, or it's a webisode. I mean, I will give you that.
I think that the writers and possibly even the animators have a great grasp of the medium they're working in and how to best use it. I think it's the best way to put that. I think the writers are trying to write a movie and the animation is not there for a movie. The animators are trying to do a web series that lasts a certain amount of time, and they're doing the best they can trying to work around this movie script. And it's just none of it is really gelling. As to what you asked, Brian, as to what this is supposed to accomplish, I think the most telling thing is that when they announced the sequel, they talked about how the previous series got like 10 million views or something like that across worldwide, and I think that's really all it's supposed to accomplish.
I agree.
Supposed to get It's supposed to get eyes on Transformers, and if it does that by spectacle, if it does that by epic badness, if it does that by stunt casting, I don't really think that Hasbro cares.
Yeah.
You know, you have to think,
that's a shame, but
I hate to like stand up for this in any way, but you also have to stop and think that I'm just putting together a random example here. The 14-year-olds who are not so deeply immersed into a lot of Transformers fiction like we are, whose gateway into Transformers might have been the movies, like to them, they might be looking at this on their phones. And they're thinking, hey, that's pretty cool, because they don't have more of a frame of reference for what Transformers fiction should be. And I think that's probably part of what they're wanting to do with this, because otherwise there's no media support for generations, really.
I agree fully, except I don't think it's 14-year-olds. I think it's targeted to 40-year-olds.
I think primarily, yes, and anybody younger that gets into it is going to be considered a side benefit.
Yeah, I agree.
I will say two more things and I'll end up, Brian. One, whenever, from now on, you just gave me an idea. From now on, whenever Transformers does something with name brand people doing voices, I'm going to call them stunt icons.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's funny. What's the second one?
Second one is, no matter what it boils down to, no matter what it's trying to achieve, I should not, in 2017, when this was made, go to YouTube, pull up Shadow Raiders and War Planets made by Mainframe in 1998 and have a better visual and auditory experience on a show that's 20 years old this year versus what I'm getting now. The quality.
That was a TV show, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to assume they pumped a whole lot more money into that.
But I'm saying, though, look at the technology jump in them.
I think it's just art design.
And I can still get a better. I can get a better show from 20 years ago on early Mainframe CGI.
Mainframe had talented animators, really defined their productions above and beyond what the technology really allowed for.
Okay, so moving along. Yeah. So we showed the photo last week from the Bumblebee movie. For those who weren't there, it's Bumblebee is a Volkswagen Bug, and the girl who is his friend. So, but since then, we have a synopsis via a press release, and I want to go ahead and just read the first few sentences. On the run in the year 1987, Bumblebee finds refuge in a junkyard. That sounds kind of like last night. In a small California beach town, Charlie, on the cusp of turning 18, and Charlie is so close. If it was just Carly, but Charlie, on the cusp of turning 18 and trying to find her place in the world, discovers Bumblebee, battle-scarred and broken. When Charlie revives him, she quickly learns that this is no ordinary yellow Volkswagen Bug. That's a very basic premise, and I am entirely okay with that. That's basically the premise of any Transformers movie. Except,
wasn't that basically the premise of Age of Extinction?
It was the premise of the 2007 movie, except for it's not a Volkswagen, it was a dude. But that's basically what Transformers is. So as long as the director doesn't botch it, like Michael Bay has done repeatedly, it's a simple story. So I have a lot of hope for it, and I love that it's set in 87. So, yeah, there you go.
Was it 87 now?
87, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this has promise. I would like to have a Transformers movie I can enjoy without qualifiers. I would like that a lot.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, not be ashamed to watch with people.
Yeah.
I watched The Last Night with people, but, you know.
I mean, okay, I'm not trying to take away from that experience, but your brother and his fiance aren't really what I think of when I say people in this context.
The only movie, Transformers movie, that I've watched with other people that actually enjoyed it was my brother-in-law, who happened to be like 14 at the time, really liked Revenge of the Fallen. Otherwise, I don't think anybody I've watched a Transformers movie with has liked it. So
I think 14 is a good age for those movies.
Yeah, Yeah. Okay. So
and probably a good age for the Machinima series.
Yeah.
Possibly so.
So Soundwave Mega Action Series image reveals G1 design from Toys Alliance. So not a lot of info, but for people watching
this
the video,
goes with the Optimus Prime that I have, yeah, and the Megatron that's coming out soon. How much, that I'm going to have to buy.
What's the what was the retail on that you paid for? $120?
No. He's retail. I think he's
what, 200?
200.
So the design of Soundwave does not look specifically very G1.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But
kind of a little dreamwavy from this angle.
I can see that. I'll be very interested to see how it turns out. Optimus though turned out really well, right? So
yeah, the Optimus is really nice.
200 out of my price range for something like this, but I'm glad it exists.
Yeah.
Let's see here. XV really just screwed up the news here.
Well, I had to put the stuff in there because otherwise it would like telegraph what I was going to do.
Yes.
In the meantime, though, here's the vehicle modes. There's a road trap and there's battle slash the boxiest helicopter.
But yes, for those who are listening to the podcast, there are three galleries worth of pictures of battle slash and road trap up on tformers.com.
Yeah, and we'll have them linked from tfradio.net/552.
And doubtless Chris will be doing galleries for these soon, I'm sure.
Oh, they'll be great. Flickr.com.
Soon as I can.
Flickr.com slash Chris RTXV.
And the full galleries will be on tformers.com.
True. So Imaginarium Art, we have, I guess this is a teaser of an upcoming Megatron statue. I don't exactly know what to think looking at it. I don't dislike it, but I want to see the full statue. I have to see Megatron's legs and feet before I ever make any sort of pronouncement on whether or not I like the design. Even though this is non-transforming, that still is a factor. So, upper torso, what we see here doesn't look bad, but I need to see more. Anybody have any thoughts on it?
No.
Yeah. Torso looks like a tall geese.
Boy statues. Wow.
Boy statues. Yeah. That's exactly
right. We're getting a lot of them now.
Yeah. This is the most we've had since Hard Hero is in business.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more than
Hard Hero only make like six.
But that was, you know, that was the most that we ever had.
Yeah. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just like drawing comparison. Like, we have a lot more statues now than we did back then.
And because I haven't mentioned this story in years, I'm going to mention this. I was at Baltimore Comic Con, and the Hard Hero guys were there. This was 2004. And I told them, of course, they needed to make a Big Daddy. And they just thought I was crazy. They were trying to get rid of me. It was pretty great. well, I'm not buying your product, but if you made a Big Daddy, I would get it. So we didn't talk. We skipped this last week. This was actually something that popped up.
So was that Megatron statue.
Oh, good point. So Wizards of the Coast, of course, you know, they are owned by Hasbro. They're making a Transformers G1 trading card game. And is this an actual physical card or digital? I never quite got that because I know they do digital stuff as well.
Physical with an option for possibly digital if it succeeds as an actual product. So
I'm assuming
it would almost seem better to do it the opposite way, don't you think?
I would think so, or a, you know, simultaneous release, but yeah. I'm not well versed in the CCG market anymore.
Yeah.
Is there a CCG market?
For Magic Pokemon. And Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah, Magic Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely.
I've heard that the Magic market,
but all three of those have fairly robust online components.
I've heard that the Magic market is dying very quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't look that way from Hasbro.
Well, somebody told me that the market it's dipped by like 50% in the last year or two, the number of users. So, So Alien Attack Toys, El Cid, an official movie style, Optimus Prime, because
Eric is so mad about this.
What is he mad about?
The forearms are wrong.
They're wrong?
Yeah.
Apparently.
I'm upset with the eyes.
Yours
is a little cross-eyed.
It's weird looking. I don't mind the forearms.
The whole thing's a little weird looking, to be honest.
I don't hate it.
I don't like it.
I
don't need it.
I wouldn't buy it, but if it were an official product, I would consider it.
Would be better.
I don't know.
I'm getting it, and I'll review it.
There you go.
I mean, you know, a thing like Movie Masterpiece, Age of Extinction.
Well, yeah,
I think that's what this is trying to be. So by that metric, if it was an official thing, yes, it would be better. They would at least get the visual styling more right. Like, there's proportional weirdness with this. Eric claims the forearms are wrong. You know, cross-eyed, whatever. There would not be that. I don't think there'd be that same laundry list of things against it if it was an official design.
Yeah, probably.
But the next alien attack thing actually looks really nice.
Yeah, so it's Firage. What's up with that name? I don't get it.
Is fake Mirage.
Fake Mirage, okay. So Alien Attack Toys, STF, step over toe hold, right? Front face lock.
Yes, step over toe hold face lock.
Yeah. Firage, not Mirage, movie. Figure, new photo gallery.
I think this figure's out already.
I checked Big Bad Toy Store. It's still in pre-order status, but it should be close.
Several of the third-party people I've seen on eBay have it available, so it is available through some other places as well.
Do you like this?
I'm getting it.
Me?
Well, Chris, you sound like...
I think it looks good.
I think it looks okay. I mean... Okay, this
looks better than their Optimus Prime.
I don't have a problem with the toy. I have a problem with the design of that character.
Well, that's a completely different argument.
Yeah, there's a distinction to be made. I think.
I guess I should qualify, since we need to be, you know, granularly specific here. I think this looks like a well-designed, well-made toy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really judging it on the character design, which is not something that this company... I mean, they could have control over that in their interpretation of it if they wanted to, but they are obviously trying to make it movie accurate.
A character I'd like to see get new treatment would be like movie Sideswipe.
There was a lot of Sideswipe toys, though. I mean, he got
For Dark of the Moon, right? We haven't had anything since, have we?
For Revenge of the Fallen, but yeah.
Yeah,
but we didn't get a side. Which Sideswipe wasn't in the movie after then.
Yeah, but I like that design, and of course we also got the what was it? Quick Strike out of it.
No, but I'm just saying the reason they're doing this figure is this is a movie figure that never got made.
Yeah.
So this character had a Legion class figure in the Hasbro line, and then in 2014 Takara did one off of the deluxe Sideways mold from Revenge of the Fallen. But those are the only two toy representations the character has, and neither is actually accurate in any way to what he looked like in the movie.
Yeah, like a lot of things in the third party realm and the movie realm, this looks like a really well executed toy of something that is just not for me.
I mean, Alien Attack Toys, just so everyone knows, is a new company. Whether it's related to some of the other companies or not, I don't know. But they are only focusing on movie toys. Everything they do is going to be movie toys.
I like that.
Yeah. Interesting. We've seen for a couple years at the TFCon presentations, they've had slides in there for upgrade parts for the movie Wreckers, which I don't think ever actually came out, but they're obviously actually getting production done on these complete figures. I have to imagine the interest on the Wreckers upgrades was not super high to begin with.
Yeah.
With this Firage only being about $60 and not being specifically in Masterpiece scale, it's more something that would be on my radar than, you know, something to like pair with Movie Masterpiece Bumblebee specifically. Like, this is conceivably something I could see myself picking up if I found a good price in the dealer room at some point, so, which is not something I would say often about a third party product, especially movie oriented.
So while I'm thinking about it, the Quick Strike toy I was talking about from Dark of the Moon, it was called Dark Steel.
Yeah.
And it was I guess it was Sideswipe with a new head and a different paint.
Black, right?
Yeah. I love that toy. Let's see what else we got going on here. El Cid, Farage, Flame Toys, Kuro Kara Curry Drift, licensed figure and hidden photos. And
this is the one that's really expensive.
How much is it?
Yeah.
$300.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. It looks like a Gundam. These
are the people. Yeah, very much so. These are the people who are doing Star Saber next.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
What are Star Saber didn't look enough like a Gundam for you already.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel like you could do this much cheaper by customizing enough master grades together.
Yeah. If you like drift.
That's saying something.
And you don't have enough drift, $300. There you go.
It has lights.
It does have lights. So, speaking of light.
The Gundam Age Mobile Suits has a head that would work for that.
Speaking of lights, you can go to
Rob, I actually tried to figure it out.
You can go to tfradio.net/Amazon and buy all the light bulbs that you need. I was actually,
or if you want to do some photography, there's all kinds of options for like LED photography lighting.
I was actually looking at that last night. I was looking at like 80-watt, not 80-watt equivalent, but 80-watt. They call them corn bulbs. It's the LEDs that have the little LEDs all over it. It's like a 300-watt equivalent bulb. I'm going to put one of those in my front yard. I have one in the backyard just to brighten my deck, but I want to be able to see my front yard. You can get anything at Amazon. So I was given a gift card for Christmas. So last night I ordered, I've been wanting a dash cam forever. So I ordered a dash cam. It was delivered right before the show. So once we're done recording, I'm going to go install it. I am excited.
And go for a drive so you can do some dash cam recording in the dark.
Apparently, it's made by Anchor, and apparently it's very effective for recording at night. So I'm pretty excited about it. Get anything from Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon, and if everybody uses the link, we can get Don and Diecast a headset.
You know what you could do, Kilby? Go on Amazon and get an infrared light source and mount that on your car. Because, almost all digital cameras will pick up infrared light, so you could totally
has to be filtered
turn
out.
It into a night vision dash cam.
Yeah, that'd be great. I love that. It's a great idea. Genius. Or I could just get a remote control and, have it in my left hand and point it toward the road and just hold down a button.
Yeah, that would totally be bright enough.
That would be bright enough. Okay.
Also, remote control diodes tend to flicker by design.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't really be a good light source. I may or may not have tried things related to this conversation.
It would strobe. It would be great. A really slow strobe. What, Don?
Just get you the kit, conversion kit, to make it for your car.
I have that. It's not, I had to take it out because it started flashing blue lights, and I just started freaking out, so...
Oh.
You can control the color until it stops working.
Right. Oh. Yeah, that would be that's a thing I would think you'd want to specifically make it so it only does particular colors.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, it's okay to have flashing yellow lights and sometimes flashing red lights on a vehicle that's not an actual official emergency services thing, but you're kind of getting into some murky territory when you're getting into the blues and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, tfradio.net/Amazon. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, Chris and I have each done our first year-end articles. I talked about my five favorite Transformers figures of the year with a couple of honorable mentions. And he's got his most memorable moments overall for Transformers in 2017. I did a review of Transformers versus Visionaries number one, which is kind of making some waves today for an editorially mandated death at the end of the issue. I'm not thrilled with that death. I think the comic otherwise is relatively well done, but it is more Visionaries than Transformers, which means I'm not particularly interested. And depending on where the next issue goes, I may or may not continue reviewing it for T-Formers, just because for my money, Revolutionaries fell outside the scope of our reviews. I did not review that. And this is probably less Transformers related so far than Revolutionaries. So that said, if you're into Visionaries, it's of course a reboot. It's a new thing. Hi, Don. I did actually call you out in the review. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, if you're a fan of Visionaries, this is of course an all new thing, an all new, version of them. But this is going to be more for you than it is for me. So go check it out.
So it's not Visionaries Regeneration 1.
No, not in the least.
Okay.
It is definitely to the original Visionaries as the IDW Transformers continuity is to the G1 cartoon. So yeah, it's worth checking out. If that's your thing, if that's what you want, give it a look. XV has review or galleries. Thank you, Brain, for LG 51 and 52 Target Masters, Double Cross and Misfire. And man, they look good.
Double Cross is surprisingly nice looking in actual execution, especially when you have it side by side with the Hasbro Twinferno. Like, I'm really surprised by how much I like Double Cross over Twinferno.
So
I thought it would just be a throwaway thing for the Target Master.
I'm in the chat right now at tfradio.net/live, which we record every Wednesday around 7:30 Eastern time. Show starts at 8 o'clock, but pre-show before and post-show after. And we're having a conversation about Don Murphy. So
wow.
Yeah, I know. Deep cut.
There's a blast from the past.
I know. Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? XV is prolonging your suffering and arbitrarily holding back episode 100 a little longer. But in the meantime, you can listen to that one episode of Star Trek Presents Superhero Time, Waiting for Ken, where, indeed, the reliable cast members spend half an hour waiting for Ken. Spoilers, Ken never shows up. How was your weekend?
Poor Ken. Yep.
He was how the was, smart one.
He was sick, that's why. How was sure. your weekend? How was your weekend, episode 25? How was your year end? Wendy and Brian are back from the holiday break, and they recap their first year. It's been a crazy year full of travel and vet bills. They share some of their favorite stories and talk about ideas they have for 2018. What a year! RPG Lessons Learned, episode 35, Medieval Avengers, take 2 at Mace 2017, 5th edition. Brian puts Dusty on the hot seat and interviews him about the second running of his Medieval Avengers game. At Mace 2017, Dusty ran this game based on the 5th edition Avengers pre-generated characters at Tribality.com. Some things went well, but overall, Dusty felt this game went poorly.
That was a good episode. Dusty, like Don said, Dusty ran the game. Didn't go well, which the whole point of the show is to learn from mistakes. So that was a really good one. How was your weekend? We got a lot of positive feedback from that episode. People are glad to hear that back. That one's one that we entirely took the time off because Wendy was leaving a project, leaving a job, and she had to, basically work 80 hours, whatever, a week to, wow. Yeah, to see it through. So now that she's off of that horrible experience, the show's going to be back full time. So really excited. Diecast, do you have any reviews this week?
Did I review anything? No, but I am getting... I bought some stuff for a new setup, and it's supposed to be here. It was supposed to be here Tuesday, but somehow it got pushed to Thursday.
Oops.
So hopefully...
TFRadio.net/Amazon?
Yeah. It was Prime. It said it shipped with Prime, which I thought is usually 2-day shipping. Some reason it took like a week.
Hmm.
So hopefully if I don't get too much snow, I'll actually get it tomorrow and I can set up and maybe do a recording. Maybe go to Target
employees. We'll have to talk in the post show about what you got.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I'm curious.
Yeah. And of course, tfradio.net/live. You can watch each week. You can also at tfradio.net on the front page, there's a contact us button where you can send questions or comments. I got a question this morning and I like immediately responded. I was proud of myself. Something about the, the year end episode that we do each week, each year. Sorry.
Yeah, the year-end episode we do each week.
Sorry, my caffeine is waning. I didn't have as much caffeine. I haven't had an energy drink since.
That's why I was late to the pre-show. I was like undergoing a massive caffeine infusion. It took a while.
Yeah, haven't had an energy drink in like 7 hours, 8 hours. So I'm like,
I had a 5-hour energy like 8 hours ago.
Yeah, I'm dragging. You can find this episode at tfradio.net/552 to view show notes. Leave us a voicemail 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And if you were watching pre-show at tfradio.net/live, you saw me and us leave ourselves a voicemail. It was fun. Find us on Twitter at TF Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. We are on Instagram at TF Podcast. And Rob Springer, who's not here, is at Rob Springer and at zonebase.org. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Diecast, you are at?
I'm at home right now. No, I'm at on Twitter at Diecast2, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Chris.
I'm at my wit's end.
Yes.
I'm at the end of my rope.
Don.
Don's on offense.
He is on offense.
Don's at offense.
No, I find offense at these jokes. I can be reached
after Twitter. Some of the puns you make. That there, you have no standing for that, Don.
I am a professional. You rank amateurs. Just need
at HMRC the number 4 EVR.
And Matt is at MELLLVARR.
I think you got that right.
You did. Yeah. Three L's, two R's.
Three L's and two R's.
John.
That John D everywhere.
Rob.
On Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs, on YouTube at Flail Throughs, and the video work that Chris and I, mostly Chris right now, do for T-Formers is on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Rob's the only one who actually played this straight.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Good old Rob.
Good old Rob.
I had so much to get through. I didn't want to, you know, blather on too much before I just got into it.
And Chris, did you plug Superhero Time?
No. Do I ever?
The last episode.
You should, since there's one episode left.
Before. Why break the pattern of 8 years?
Because there's one episode.
No, so we are having
left.
Our final episode of that one episode of Star Trek, which will also basically be the final episode of Superhero Time. Although I'm not going to rule out, like, maybe coming doing a Jessica Jones season 2 special or something along that line, if, you know, something really catches our interest. But in terms of regular weekly podcasts with the group, that's pretty much going to come to an end as of episode 100 of that one episode of Star Trek. The plan right now is to release that on January the 6th, which is the literally 8-year anniversary of the first episode posting of Superhero Time.
So you're really not doing any more podcasts on a regular.
I have purposely not allowed myself to plan any projects after Superhero Time ends, because whether or not I come back to this in the future, I want to give myself some time for, you know, other pursuits and, you know, have some free evenings and afternoons early in the week, because it is basically a 2-day commitment the way I produce the show. All of my Monday night's gone, and most of Tuesday afternoon then goes to putting the show together and posting it. So
not even the Dukes of Hazzard podcast you've been working on?
I mean, that's more of a pipe dream than anything.
Actually, yeah, that would be pretty great. Okay, so, yeah, the last episode of Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, posts on Saturday.
That one episode of Voyager.
It's the titular, I guess, the titular episode of the series.
Yep.
Actually, I guess it's the titular, or is it the, I don't know.
The archetypical?
Titular is correct.
The namesake?
That eponymous? Could also work.
I think it's eponymous. We'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?